Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Got here in time, I have to freely admit. I just walked into the studio, but there's a good reason. Because when I got here, my little superstar grandson from upstate New York was upstairs. And so I had to spend 5 minutes spoiling the living daylights out of him. So it's what I tell you, the grandfather thing is the greatest thing going. I'm telling you right now. It is. Nirvana. Oh, it's great to have everybody with us today. Great along the line. Let's see. We have what, Peter King today?
4:06. Yes, sir.
John McClain, Houston Chronicle today?
At 4:35.
And Jordan Rodriguez, Charlotte Observer from the Senior Bowl at 3:35. How about that? That work?
Boom, boom, and boom.
All right, glad that all works. It's our goal to make it work. So how are you doing today?
We're doing fantastic. Been looking forward to this show for a long time and get everybody fired up for Super Bowl 51 a week from Sunday.
There are a lot of issues to talk about with both of them. Jordan will just concentrate on what's going on with the Senior Bowl since she's in Mobile. Did not get into, obviously, our outstanding player from Bucknell, because, I mean, that would not be somebody that she'd point out. I mean, she's looking in general terms as to what's happening down there. But there's a lot to talk about with both Peter and John. They're Hall of Fame voters. What are the considerations on the Hall of Fame? How do you view Roger Goodell as to how he handles the business end versus the personal end? What about the Chargers move? The fact that they have had now within a year in a league that is a $13 billion industry and is growing all the time, the fact that now you've got three franchises that have announced either that they've either moved or announced that they are moving in 12 months. I mean, what is that telling us? The Roethlisberger thing, obviously, to get into. So, I mean, there's a lot going on that that besides the Super Bowl of getting into it. And then how do you cover the darn thing? I mean, the only one I ever went to, and I didn't go to the game, I just did Media Day. How do you cover the darn thing? And then Peter King, for example, covered the Falcons-Packers game last week, so he had a real chance to be around the Falcons.
And if I read correctly, I believe he will be the official pool reporter for the Falcons for the Super Bowl.
Right. Well, he's also got his podcast that he'll have two from down there that he does. And it's a fun thing that he does, but he's got a lot of guests in that podcast, too, coming up from Houston next week. So he's got a lot going on. John McClain's been around the Houston football scene more than four decades now. I mean, he covered the Oilers. Now he's covering the Texans and Bill O'Brien, and so it's going to be interesting to get his thoughts on some of the same topics, but also narrow it down to Houston as well, since that's where the Super Bowl is going to be. And Jordan Rodriguez will narrow down on the Senior Bowl and what you're looking for at the Senior Bowl. So it'll be a show with a great variety in it today. How about that? Great variety in it. And the other part, too, I want to get into Peter. Now, Peter more so than John. I think Peter King has was one of the first guys to really make adjustments in the business, in diversification, and understand that it's not the 1960s and 70s anymore where you're writing and we're all reading the sporting news and we're all reading Sports Illustrated, that you had to adjust with the times. I thought he was one of the first ones that really understood you had to do that. And you do have to make big adjustments along the way when you're doing that, because media is changing all the time. I do a little bit of writing, not much, but what I've been asked to, I have. Obviously, I do television and radio. So yeah, now I don't do podcasts, although I think you guys want me to. I don't do podcasts and things like that. The Twitter thing's a major adjustment. Oh, did the suit ever get upset with me about the Twitter thing all the time?
I'll tell you who tweets a lot, and I was shocked to see this, is our 435 guest today, John McClain. Oh, my. When we were exchanging messages to have him on the show today, he goes, please use Twitter. And I go, no problem. We're
right.
I thought I tweeted a lot. I've only tweeted out a grand total of about just under 18,000 tweets since I started my account in 2009. He is over 110,000 tweets.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. He forwards a lot of stories.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
a lot of the Houston Chronicles, sports stories and various breaking sports headlines. But, yeah. Yeah. John McClain's a tweeting machine.
Wow.
Yeah. 114,129 tweets.
Grand total. I'm not even sure I'm up to 129 tweets. I know how many I've sent out. I'd like to ask you on my behalf how many you've sent out.
By the way, if you're on Twitter, follow us on Twitter. We are at Steve Jones PSU.
I'll send you all personal messages. Oh, my goodness.
See, I don't even have to add the disclaimer. If this tweet is from Steve, we will put SJ at the end, but we don't have to worry about that. unless you want to start too, just let me know.
It's not that I'm lazy.
No, not at all.
I think everyone knows I'm. At least I give one the impression of attempting to work hard. But. In today's media, that's part of where it's at. Now, I realize, for example, let's take the suit. The suit does, when he does high school football and when he does Bucknell, he usually does something on Periscope, right?
Yeah, he'll do like a little, like maybe a minute, 90-second little preview, yes. And sometimes before Shikellamy basketball, too. He and the Chief did a little blip last Saturday leading into the Shemokin game.
Well, by the way, tell me just a little quick about last night's game.
Well, let's see. They were actually Kevin had to do it solo for a while. The Chief got sick.
He
had to leave the desk last night.
Oh,
wasn't feeling so hot, but he came back for. He missed a good part of the second half, but came back to finish out the broadcast and did the post game. So for a good chunk of the game last night, this was for the first time in like 20 years that they broadcasted games together. Yeah, Chief had to had the duck out for a couple of minutes. Ooh. Wasn't feeling well, but he is doing a lot better.
Oh, good. Think the world of Dave. Dave is an awesome guy.
Well, it's funny because he popped in studio last night when we were finished after 5 o'clock.
He sounded great.
Yeah, he sounded great. And I said to Kevin this morning, I didn't know Dave wasn't feeling good when he came in. We were talking. He looked fine to me. He just had a little reversal of fortune. We'll leave it at that.
Okay.
But
all right.
But he's doing a lot better.
Well, I think I do know the full story on it.
But yeah, I was listening to the game on the app last night, and Kevin was kind of calculating the stats and total point scores kind of on the fly during the start of the postgame show.
Yeah, but I think I remember when Dave and I were talking last night.
Yes.
Remember the point I made to Dave about conserving his voice? That when you work with Kevin and he gets wound up, you end up conserving your voice?
Quality over quality.
I don't think Dave was sick.
It must have happened from out of the blue. He was very apologetic.
I'm telling you, Dave wasn't sick. As Kevin kept going, just shut him out.
He has told us he does not miss this show. It's a can't miss. So I'll keep my eye on the phone if I get a text from Chief here in a minute.
Hey, I hope he's all right, because I think the world of that guy. He is an awesome, awesome guy. So we're really lucky to have him on the broadcast that we do have him on. He's really good. All right. We're going to take a break. We will come back. Not a lot really news-wise going on today. It's not really a big news day, which is a perfect day to have everybody on, to be honest with you. It kind of gives us a room to operate where we're not have our hands tied by a particular story. No, I think that's a, you know, that's a plus. So we can get into a lot of topics without, you know, I mean, just a quick note. I mean, Ben's still a Steeler, just so you know. That's pretty much the headline, right?
At last check, yes.
Oh, you're just so negative.
No.
Just so negative. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is making 2017 the year of the Elantra. A brand new Hyundai Elantra from Sunbury Motors Hyundai can be yours for only $215 per month. This is not a lease payment. $215 per month on a brand new Hyundai Elantra with America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors says a 2017 Hyundai Elantra is the absolute best buy for your buck in 2017. Sunbury Motors was voted best car dealership, best quick service, and best body shop. Now add best new compact vehicle with the Hyundai Elantra, and you just made the best decision of 2017. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is making 2017 the year of the Elantra. There's 34 to choose from, starting at $215 per month, tax and tax extra, at 2.99% APR for 84 months to qualified buyers. Sunbury Motors Hyundai declares 2017 the year of the Elantra. Great to have you with us, Jordan Rodriguez, Charlotte Observer, in the next half hour. John McClain, final half hour. Peter King, Sports Illustrated, in the middle half hour. So a lot going on, and we'll get to it. Penn State will play against Illinois in a game on Saturday. And we mentioned it's a 50-50 game. It's really interesting. It's a real contrast here. I'll be blunt about Penn State's problem offensively. It doesn't really, if you have the numbers available to you, it does not take a genius to figure out, because the average fan is not going to have the numbers available to them. I mean, you can take your time and you can extrapolate the numbers, but who's going to bother doing that? In the last four games, Penn State has shot 37.5% or lower. Oh, not from the field. 37.5% or lower from two-point range. That's a crusher. Well, now they're facing a team in Illinois. And guess what Illinois is dead last in the conference in? Two-point percentage defense, 57% against them this year. Now, Illinois won big last night. But that is a Penn State problem versus an Illinois problem. Which one has the bigger problem? That's the game within the game on Saturday at 4:30 at the Jordan Center. And for Penn State, trying to win their fourth conference game out of 9 shots, and they have 3 of the next 4 at home. 3 of the next 4 are at home. The only one that's not will be at Indiana on Wednesday night. So that's the game within the game. And I will, and I'll get into it with Patrick Chambers tonight. We'll talk a little bit about that. It's all right. This, you know, this is not sitting there and you're, well, we're going to have negative talk. It gives an opportunity for him to talk about in a factual way what's happening and what's not happening. You know, you don't sit there and say, yeah, 37.5% or less from 2 point. What's happening? What's wrong? There are ways of asking it where you turn it into a conversation and you get information. That's what you try to do. Try to turn these talk shows into as many relaxing conversations that happen to be on the air as often as possible. That's how I look at it. And hopefully we succeed at that. But I will ask him about that because I think that's part of the game within the game on Saturday with Illinois. Penn State's problem is 2 point percentage offense. Illinois' problem is 2 point percentage defense. So does Penn State get well there or does Illinois overcome it? It's going to be a 50-50 game. It's back home. That's the other part about Illinois. Illinois is a team that offensively at home is 1.1 points per possession. On the road, they're 0.944. Dramatic difference for them offensively. Dramatic. You look at their home and away. Same thing in terms of points per percentage defense. Also completely different home and away. Illinois has not won a true road game this year. It doesn't mean they can't come in here and win that thing on Saturday, but that's... You know, but again, they're trying to point out the game within the game. Well, that's the game within the game that you as a fan should look for. Gets inside the arc. Does Penn State do enough to convert inside the arc against a team that has trouble defending inside the arc? Illinois is also a team that has 52 block shots this year as a team. Mike Watkins has 57. Again, that's that ability to close inside when you're facing a team that is not a shot-blocking team. It gives you the opportunity to go in and close and convert. Teams that have a shot blocker, you always feel like they're lurking, and I feel every once in a while you're chasing ghosts. You get in there, you're chasing a ghost around the basket sometimes. Well, you shouldn't be with this team. We'll see. Illinois did win at home last night. And Illinois, by the way, shoots 50% from the field at home overall and 41% from the field on the road. See, there again the differences. All right. Take a break. Jordan Rodrigue, Charlotte Observer, will join us from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Peter King at 4:06. John McClain at 4:35 today. Great to have all of you on board with us today. Show we've been looking forward to. Hopefully we produce a really good one for you. But I guess that's up to me to ask the questions to try to do that. Sean did all the hard work. Patrick Chambers tonight with his show, 6:05, and softball coach Amanda Lahotek tonight as well.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Jordan Rodrigue, Charlotte Observer from Mobile, Alabama, in just a few moments. Peter King, Sports Illustrated, 4:06. John McClain, Houston Chronicle, at 4:35. Time now for this day in sports history. And the International Rugby Association began on this day in 1887. Huge. Because I applied for a job to be their first play-by-play guy. What? Are you surprised by that?
That old? Come on, no.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Had to. I was just trying to get myself a job at the time, you know.
Cut your teeth, pay your dues?
No, I mean, just trying to, you know, and...
Get some paper,
but instead they hired the great-great-grandfather of the suit. 1924, Charles Justra of the United States won the 500-meter speed skating. You want to know the significance of that? He was the first ever gold medalist at the Winter Olympics, 1924. That was a suit moment. Wayne Gretzky, first NHL player, 50 goals in 49 games, 1985. Packers beat the Patriots 35-21 in Super Bowl 31. Tampa Bay beat Oakland 48-21, Super Bowl 37. John Gruden able to get his Super Bowl victory there. All right, that's this day in sports history. Bring in Jordan Rodriguez, Charlotte Observer. She is at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. So, Jordan, take us. I don't think anybody really cares about the game. So give me a read on the importance of this particular week, both for player personnel people and for players.
Yeah, there's kind of a running joke that only rookies stay for the game. Which is why the players stay for the game, because they're hoping to be NFL rookies. obviously they split up into two teams. You have the Bears coaches and the Browns coaches, respectively taking their teams, and the practices will be back to back, out here at Ladd Peebles Stadium. And, it's a lot of drills, a lot of 7-on-7 work, and, hundreds and hundreds of scouts, and kind of all the big agents are out here, all the medium sized, and even some agents that are looking for different players and things like that are out here. And there's a lot of coaches and representation from every single NFL team is here, as well as their armies of scouts and their operations guys, and a lot of media as well. But I would definitely say scouts and team personnel outnumber the media probably 10-1 out here. So it's been pretty exciting, obviously covering, I'm covering big picture as well as the Panthers angle. So been seeing some pretty exciting guys that I think have caused some people to really sit up and pay attention to them.
Deshaun Watson, though, is not there. Now, there'll be other moments for him, combines, individual workouts, and so forth. But how disappointed are personnel people in particular that he is a no-show?
Well, I think some of them were looking forward to really seeing what he could do in some of these drills and situational things, and it seems to me, you got a couple quarterbacks out here, but none of them I think are very high prospects. Nate Peterman has been the one that's mostly been the guy that's impressing people. But again, the star-studded guys aren't really here in terms of quarterbacks and linemen and things like that. So I think people are a little disappointed. But honestly, Deshaun Watson is the kind of guy that I think lots of teams will be scheduling private workouts with. So I think that even if he's not here right now, I think teams are really looking forward to kind of getting him in a private setting and talking to him one-on-one and things like that. But in terms of these other guys that are here, I think that it's such an enormous opportunity to get out here and network with people. I mean, you talk to guys and they're meeting with 10 teams a day and just their minds are blown and they're reeling from all this opportunity. But, it's such a good opportunity to just get your name out there and your face out there and obviously to get kind of put through your paces.
You talked about the Carolina Panthers. What would be their needs going in into this thing, and thus how does that then shape the players that you're, or at least the positions you're looking at?
So their biggest need is to get that line, that offensive line, healthy and back to what it's supposed to be. But I just talked to Dave Gettleman actually right before we got on the phone here, and he is in agreement with me that this offensive tackle and class, especially with the tackles, is not very strong. So they're seeing if anyone kind of shines through, but so far, nobody that they'd consider, I would think, picking at number eight. So they're actually looking more at the tight end class, which is absolutely loaded here at the Senior Bowl. It's crazy. They're running two tight end sets because you got, you know, Gerald Everett and O.J. Howard on the same team. So you have to run two tight end sets because these guys got to be shown. And they're looking at edge rushers. They're looking for a complete guy, not a situational guy. So obviously a couple of the star edge rushers in the draft are not here. But at the same time, I think they're definitely intrigued by a couple of the prospects here. And I think wide receivers, some slot guys, that's kind of the theme of the Senior Bowl, is there's a couple really good mid-size to small receivers that would be just perfect in the slot. And they are here kind of evaluating their route running and their hands. And so far, there have been some really impressive talents in terms of speed. And Panthers definitely need a little burst of speed on offense.
You mentioned you're also looking at big picture. So give us, and I think you touched on some of it as you were going through that answer, but what are some of the specifically big picture items you're also looking at there?
Well, Ron Rivera's still trying to fill in a couple holes in his staff. And so obviously he's out here. He's not happy about being out here. Obviously, he'd like to be preparing for the Super Bowl at this time.
Right.
But, you know, we talked a little bit about that and how it's kind of a good time for him to reconnect with some of his old buddies and people who have been, you know, good with giving him tips, and he's been bouncing ideas off people, and as well as, you know, kind of finishing up that interview process for a secondary coach and for a receivers coach. And so that's been good for him. That's something we've kind of been looking at when we're out here. And then also just trying to monitor different pieces that could fit into the puzzle with the Panthers. I mean, they're going to have four picks in the top 100 in this draft. So they're really trying to find pieces that can help prevent what happened last year from happening again. And a lot of that will actually be coming from free agency. So in terms of buying tackles and things like that, in my perspective. So I think that kind of getting a feel for who they're looking at with some of those complementary moves. Dave Gettleman is a guy that he'll take care of free agency first and foremost, and then he wants to find the best available talent with that number eight pick. And the last time they had a pick that high, we all know who they picked up, and that's a little old guy by the name of Luke Kuechly. So, you know, I think they're really looking forward to finding a star.
No question. Obviously, you've covered a lot of college football, which means you've covered a lot of college quarterbacks. When you're looking at the mindset of what they look for on the NFL level, how much do you have to adjust your mindset in what you're watching, because the mindset is different than college?
Yeah, you know, I got to say, I do have a soft spot for some of these little college quarterbacks. So I think that I know that there's such a huge learning curve that they have to adjust to. So watching how they adjust to that learning curve specifically, I think, is the most important thing that coaches are looking for. Can they do what they're told, but also ask the right questions about certain things to show that they can take that leadership, that they can bounce ideas off people who are, you know, years and years of experience in the league and telling them what to do and coaching them, and they're wanting to make everybody happy, but can they also kind of pick apart situational things and troubleshoot and speak up when they need to speak up and that kind of a thing? And I think that's one of the hardest things for a college quarterback to do. But it's one of those, it's something that that's part of the reason why we see Dak Prescott be so successful, is because he knows how to troubleshoot with some of these things, and he can definitely follow play calls and follow instruction. But he also knows how to troubleshoot things and kind of pick apart certain situations that have made him really a valuable member of that locker room. So being able to jump that gap is so important. And I think that that's part of the intriguing thing about watching some of these young guys come out.
when you talk to the Ron Riveras and so forth, give me an idea how important practice performance is, but also how important is the interview process for these guys with these young people?
Well, a lot of it depends on the organization. And first and foremost, you have to think of the fact that, and this is, of course, another thing that's been an adjustment from covering college, but you have to think about the fact that these coaches are preparing to invest millions of dollars
That's right.
into these players and the brand and their reputation and all of those things. So obviously they have to find the right kind of guy. There's also a lot more of a microscope being put on picking up the right kind of guy, which, you know, as a reporter, I am appreciative of because I think that's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and when you get into some of these teams, like, for example, the Panthers, they're very concerned with high quality of character guys. And that's how the locker room is, and that's the kind of people that fit into their system. Ron Rivera is a high character guy. Dave Gettleman is a high character guy. So they really are looking for people that match that and can really step up to being an impact in not only the locker room but also in the community. So that's something you really find through the locker room and through talking to family and friends and things like that. And so I think in the Panthers' case, it's absolutely incredibly crucial to get a guy that interviews well and answers tough questions well and is honest and things like that. I can't speak for other teams right now. I'm sure I can after this whole combine thing is over. But as far as where the Panthers are at, I know it's incredibly important.
Jordan, an absolute pleasure as always. It's great to hear you again.
Oh, it's so great talking to you guys always.
Thanks, Jordan. Jordan Rodriguez from the Charlotte Observer, joining us from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. No, I did not ask about how many Reese's Pieces everybody gets. Reese's happens to be the sponsor of the Senior Bowl. Coming up next half hour, Peter King, Sports Illustrated. Final half hour, John McClain from the Houston Chronicle. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us today on the show. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, Peter King in the next half hour from Sports Illustrated to join us. There are just certain people that when they write something, you feel it's important, you need to read it. And when they say something, I think it's important to listen to them. And Peter King, to me, has always been one of those individuals. And we will have him on the show to talk about the NFL as only he can. And John McClain is another guy. If you watch a lot of NFL Network and you see a lot of documentaries and NFL films, how often does John McClain show up in those films? He shows up in them all the time because he has seen a lot in his career. You're talking about someone who has covered Houston football and Houston sports for more than four decades in his career. He has had a fabulous career. And if anybody knows what the deal is in Houston, he knows. So it'll be great to have both of them on back-to-back today. Normally it would be a big deal to have either one of them on the show. Hey, we're having on the show, but to have them both in the same show in the second hour, looking forward to that very much. There'll be different questions I ask each. There'll be a couple questions that will be similar along the way. And then we'll get into it. Now, John, I can ask him a little bit more about Bill O'Brien. Because obviously the last 3 years, Bill's been there. And I know what it was like, obviously, to have Bill here. But Bill, it's a great fit for Bill O'Brien to be in Houston. There's no doubt he loved coaching pro football. He won. He worked his entire career to get to pro football. He's there. And every once in a while I have somebody here complain that, well, you know, he took off. But you ended up here with James Franklin. It all worked out for everybody. James Franklin has been fabulous here as to what he's been able to do. Maintaining strong academic integrity, maintaining strong community service, and now winning football. And not only winning football, but exciting football. That's the part. I mean, it's not just winning. It's how they do it. I mean, they are one exciting football team to watch. They're the kind of team that you go on the road, people want to see what's the show all about. And then, of course, they didn't lose a game in Beaver Stadium last year. So now the fans and the team feel like there's this kinship between them where one's influencing the other. So it worked out for everybody. It worked out for Bill because he is where it's a perfect fit for him. That is the pros. And that opened the door for James Franklin to get here as well. It worked out for everybody. It's why every time I hear somebody complain, oh, he took off. Okay, well, he took off. You got James Franklin. It's fine. I don't see what the issue is. Okay, it's not a heavy news day today. This is not one of those big news days, at least to this point. I mean, it's the usual, you know, LeBron James stuff and whatever. I mean, that's one area about the NBA that really bothers me is they try to portray it as a soap opera all the time. And I'm sick and tired of the portrayal of the soap opera. Knicks talk mellow with Cavs, Celtics, and Clippers. Well, he's still there, isn't he? Report tension growing between LeBron and owner Dan Gilbert. Who cares? I don't mind if you brought him in to talk to him about personnel. Just got to get a feel from a great player on the court as to what he has and what he doesn't have around him. That's fine. But it's not like Dan Gilbert. It's not like Dan Gilbert hasn't invested money in the team. He's paying max contracts to both LeBron and Kyrie Irving, and he's got Kevin Love on the roster. It's not as if Dan Gilbert hasn't spent some cash there.
Yeah, if you take all the money that he is, you know, paying the players and on top of luxury taxes and everything, he's clearing close to $300 million. And you got LeBron going in there and say, allegedly going in and say, how about another X million, maybe $20 million for this guy or that guy?
I think what's happening is that LeBron is seeing how far behind they are on the Warriors on this one at the moment. That's at this moment. We'll see how the playoffs play out. Now, I understand his need. He wants to get a true point guard. I mean, Kyrie Irving's sort of a point guard. He's a point guard that when he has the ball, distributing the ball is not really his number one priority. I mean, so I can understand why he wouldn't mind getting a point guard somewhere, but you can find point guards that are not $20 million a year point guards. And he's entitled to have an opinion, but here's the key. Just keep the opinion in-house. I mean, who are these sources? I mean, we only have one source, and we always come out and we'll always preface it. According to the suit.
One thing's for sure, though, with LeBron, he's not going to be opting out. He will definitely be on the team next year. So don't have to worry. He'll be asking that burning question. Oh, is he going to opt out this year?
Well, the NBA is always some sort of soap opera. Have you noticed that? I guess it's the way to keep the game in the headlines. But I get turned off by that stuff. Two nuts and bolts guys that know how to cover teams and games properly are going to be our next hour. John McClain, Houston Chronicle, final half hour. Peter King next.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.